Awesome. And thank you, Karen, and our hospitality folks for getting all that stuff together. You know, we appreciate all moms. And so whether you're going home with a prize today or not, it doesn't matter. We still love you and we appreciate you. And God gave you the biggest prize of all, and that is the gift of your children. Now, maybe sometimes you don't feel that way. There might be moments where you're like, what did you do to me, God? But it is no small thing to be a mother. A couple of weeks ago, Lance and I went over to my mom's apartment, and we interviewed my mom for today's message. And so right now, I want you to sit back and enjoy a little bit of Jane Latham. And then I'll come back and talk a little more to you. So, Mom, we're here with you. This is my mother, Jane Latham, and she is 90 years old now,
yes.
And she's lived a long life, and we've been blessed to have her with us a very long time. And I thought it would be good to interview you today for our Mother's Day sermon. So I just wanted to give our folks a little glimpse of who you are and where you've come from. So can you tell us a little bit about your family, your mom and dad, your brothers and sister, and that information?
Yes. My mama and dad were good people. We had no transportation to get to church. But on Sunday after lunch, we would go walking and Daddy would show us the different kind of trees and the birds and things. And my mama was a fisherwoman. She loved to fish.
And how many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had two living brothers and one sister. Mama's first baby was named Johnny Paul for a brother and my daddy. But he died at 10 months. Hmm. And she never got over that. She always grieved for him.
So even when she was older,
yeah,
and everything, she still thought about him.
She would tell that if he was crying and she didn't go to the room to him, that when she did go, he would turn his head to the other side. He wouldn't even look at her. That was a happy memory for her.
Right. And back then, I guess, you didn't have the medical facilities and doctors and stuff. Yes. Yeah.
It could have been SIDS, probably. Mm.
And he would have been the oldest.
He was the firstborn, yes.
And you were the baby.
Yes.
Yes.
I was the baby.
Now, your mother's name was Beulah.
Yes.
But what was she called?
Booba.
Booba. Now, grandkids started calling her Booba.
Yes,
because they couldn't say Beulah.
Couldn't say Beulah, so right. He says Booba.
Uh-huh.
And it just caught.
Yeah. So as you think about Booba growing up, your mother, is there anything you can think of about her that spoke to her being a faithful mother, her doing things for you that, you know, you think were very good as a mother to do?
Well, my dad went to work on the railroad when I was 11 years old. And he worked on the railroad until I graduated from high school. He came to my graduation, and then he started staying home. From 11 until 18, I only saw him on weekends. And I cried when he went to work because I didn't want him to leave.
You were a little daddy's girl, weren't
yes,
you?
Yes, yes, I certainly was. But
your mom had to sort of do all the raising herself in a way.
In that situation. But she and I really had good times, happy times together.
Your mom was a hard-working lady.
Yes, she was.
Yep.
And a wonderful cook.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
As you think about some lessons that she taught you in life, is there anything that stands out to you?
I guess what she really taught me was to be honest with people. If you're a friend, be a friend, you know, and don't go to somebody's back and talk.
Now, you've just turned 90. Your mom lived to be 89.
Yeah.
Now, you're in a lot better health than she was in by the time she got to this age.
Yes.
But I'm thinking that in your life, you've had a lot of twists and turns. You've had some ups and downs.
Yes.
You've had some good days and bad days.
Yes.
You went through a difficult divorce.
Yes.
But you raised your children.
Yes.
You got a job. You hunkered down. You did what you had to do.
Yes.
What does your life tell you from your experience about God's faithfulness to you?
That He will take care of you. You put your trust in Him. And I didn't raise the children by myself. I know, I'm sure He helped me with my children, you know, because I had no support from my husband.
Well, one thing that's always amazed me about you is that even though you've had some difficult days like that, and even though you lived through a very tough situation with that, you did not allow that to make you a bitter person.
No, I had to find it in my heart to forgive, which was a hard thing for me at that time. You know, at first I was very bitter and thought about getting heathen.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that I had to change. I would never be able to be happy and stay like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did find it in my heart to forgive him.
Well, and, you know, as a child growing up in that time, I never saw the bitterness. Now, maybe some of the older ones, maybe they did, but I know I didn't.
No, they didn't see it either.
You kept that to yourself.
Yes.
Rather than using that as a tool. In fact, I remember there was a time when Dad was gone for some time, and one summer he came to camp where I was at. Mm-hmm. And I think we called to see if it was okay with you if he came. And you were good with him having a relationship with us.
Uh-huh.
Even though he had not been good to you.
Uh-huh.
So why do you think that was?
You know, children need the daddy. Of course, y'all didn't have him around that much.
Right.
But that was part of the forgiving process, I think.
Was that you?
To be able to be around him without being ill.
Right. But it seemed to me even then that you were willing to put aside your hurt for the sake of your kids.
Uh-huh.
So that we could have a relationship. And even though we never had a really great relationship with him, you were still willing to set aside your feelings for the sake of us, which I think is what a faithful mother does. If you had some advice to give a young mother today, what do you think you would say to her?
I think it would be a good thing if a young mother could stay home and not work. Be with her child and bring it up, you know, and not have to work. Of course, I didn't have any choice. I had to work.
Right. And in terms of faith in God and those things, where would you put that in terms of importance in a person's life?
Well, I would say that would be the top thing in a person's life, you know. And if you marry, you need to marry somebody that believes in God. Mm-hmm. I think the Bible teaches that.
Right. Anything else you want to say to anybody here on the video before we close out?
Well, I'm glad to have been here 90 years.
We are too.
The Lord has blessed me. And my health is pretty good for a 90-year-old. So,
well, Mama, thank you for taking some time today to share with us, and I hope you're happy with the outcome of the video.
Oh, I hope so. Hope everybody has a good day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Love you.
So Mom is sitting over here, and she's dealing with a little gout this morning, so y'all pray for her. But thank you, Mama. You are very special to all of us, and we appreciate you. I'm sure that all of you feel the same way about your own mother, how special they are. And, you know, we want to let them know that. And there are more stories that Lance actually videotaped, and we may be putting all of those on Facebook later if you want to look at those. And we're probably, I think I've got something for the family we'll give to all the family members there. We just didn't have enough time to show all of those. But each of us here today is here because we had a mother that decided she was going to give us life. What a wonderful decision that is. Without mothers, there is no life. There are no children. All of us then can be grateful for our mothers for the decision they made that they would give us life. And every mother is special, and every mother is appreciated. And every mother's life is filled with moments in time. I'm sure all of you mothers out here, if you sort of think about your family, you think about your children, maybe your mind goes back to the birth of your child, the first time you saw that face. Or maybe the first steps that your child took, or the first day of school, or maybe it's some special song that you would sing at night before your child would go to sleep, or a book that you read. So many other little moments, little snippets of life. You know, Jesus had a mother as well. And today, as we, you know, think about her and we look at some glimpses of her life and celebrate our own mother's lives, we're reminded of the fact that a faithful mother blesses everyone in her life. That's the main thought today. A faithful mother blesses everyone in her life. So let's think about the story of Mary, a mother. And the first thing we discover as we read in the scripture about Mary is that she was highly favored. That means that God took note of her, even at an early age, probably around 13 or 14 years old when we first meet her in Luke chapter 1 in verse 28. The angel appears before her, and the angel says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." I'm sure right about there, Mary's about to run out and make a new door in the house, whatever that was. I mean, all of us would probably be scared if some angel just appeared and said this kind of thing. But we learn that Mary was a faithful daughter. She was God's servant. And I love this about Mary because I think when God looked at her, He saw her heart. He understood what kind of person she was. Now again, this is the first mention of Mary in the Gospels, and what we discover is that God found favor with her. God saw that she was a faithful daughter and that she would be a faithful servant. Read with me in Luke chapter 1, again verses 30 and following. "But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.'" And of course, Mary is wondering, how is this going to happen? In the next verses, she understands she's never been intimate with a man, so there's no way this would be happening. But the angel explains how this is going to happen. And in verse 36, the angel explains that her cousin Elizabeth is going to have a baby as well, even though she was past the age of childbearing. And in verse 38, though, is where I want us to look, because in that text, Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me be fulfilled." So whatever it was that God was calling Mary to do, she was willing to do. She was willing to submit to the will of God. And I think that speaks to why she found favor with God. This had to be scary for a 13 or 14-year-old girl. But even at that age, God knew her heart, and she had a relationship with God. Now, growing up in a Jewish family, I'm sure that they took her to synagogue, and they took her to worship God every week. I feel certain she was raised to believe in God and to seek God. Her faith was really a result of how she was brought up. She didn't understand how this could be, but she believed and trusted in God. And so she said, "I am the Lord's servant." And that's exactly, again, why God chose her to be the mother of His child. And she would prove not to just be a faithful daughter, she would also prove to be a faithful wife. She would go on to marry this man named Joseph, who was a carpenter by trade. He wasn't a wealthy man, he wasn't royalty, he wasn't a powerful man or a highly influential man, but he was a provider. And when he received the news that Mary was pregnant, you know the story. He was a little concerned about this news, and he was thinking he would annul the marriage and just let her go quietly, but God's messenger convinced him to stay true to his commitment. And so he did, and they got married, and they went on to Bethlehem, where Mary would give birth to Jesus. And they stayed in Bethlehem for about 2 years, or up to 2 years, before King Herod got wind that a new baby king had been born. And Herod sent out his henchmen, his soldiers, to kill the babies in Bethlehem. And again, a messenger from God warned Joseph in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." And so he got up, he took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, and they stayed there until Herod died. Now, what we understand here is that Mary, okay, now she's not the primary focus of that part of the story, but in the middle of the night, your husband comes and says, "We got to go." She gets up, she goes. They go to Egypt. That's not her home. She's moving further away from her own family, but she's going. She is a good wife. She is supportive of her husband. And so she and Joseph would go on to have other children. We know in Matthew 13:55, as people are asking about who this guy Jesus was, the question is, isn't this the carpenter's son? Now they're referring to Joseph. And isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? So obviously Mary and Joseph had four other sons. Now we don't know exactly when Joseph passed away. It seems obvious that before Jesus began his ministry, Joseph was no longer around. But Mary was with him as a faithful wife until he did pass away. And she would also go on to prove to be a faithful mother in several different ways. We know that she had at least five sons. We don't know if she had any daughters. Only the sons are mentioned. But I do believe the gospel reveals a mother who is faithful to all of her children. And even before Jesus was born, she proved to be a faithful mother. She did all that she could do to bring Jesus into this world. In Luke 2, 4 through 7, "So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." Now, how many of you, now I already saw how many moms were here this morning. How many of you moms had your children in the hospital? Anybody here have your children? Were there any mothers that gave birth outside of a hospital? Was there anybody here that did that? I think almost every mother here had a nice hospital, a nice bed, hopefully some good nurses and doctors to care for you. And here we have Mary going to this place, having her child in a stall of an animal. Now, let me say this. In a world where an unborn baby's life means nothing to many people, it's still amazing to see Mary's commitment to having this child. She cared for him tenderly. She did the best that she could without a lot of help from outside. And throughout his life, she continued to be a faithful mother. She was faithful in several ways. I would say she was faithful in that she sacrificed for her children. And I believe that moms all around make little sacrifices for their kids. For Mary, it was, first of all, a reputation in the community as people got wind that she was pregnant. She gave up her simple life for something else. Can you imagine being the mother of God's son? That would carry with it a certain amount of pressure, don't you think? It's enough pressure just being a mother of an ordinary child, isn't it? I mean, if you mess up with your child, that's one thing. But if you mess up with God's son, that's a little bigger. She risked her life by giving birth to this new king. It wasn't just inconvenient. This actually became a life and death struggle. Read with me about the struggle that Mary found herself caught up in Revelation 12, as we see sort of a behind-the-scenes spiritual warfare that's going on. In verses 4 through 6, we read, "The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. So immediately after Jesus is born, we know that there is a spiritual warfare that is going on. Satan wants to destroy this child. He wants to destroy her family. Most mothers, when they give birth and have a child, aren't dealing with the idea, well, the devil wants to destroy my family. But she certainly was. But I will tell you this, moms and dads, the devil wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your family. Now notice what happens in verses 13 through 16 of Revelation 12. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. And the woman was given the two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to a place prepared for her in the wilderness where she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. And then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away into or with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river so that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus." That's why I know Satan is after you too. Not just her, but also all of us. Now Mary had no clue what she was stepping into when she said, "Okay, I'm going to be the Lord's servant and I'm going to give birth to this child." I don't know that she understood all of the ins and outs of this spiritual warfare. You wouldn't think that having a baby would become a battleground, but that's exactly what happened. So Mary was willing to fight the good fight for her child. She was willing to sacrifice for her child. And I would also say she proved to be a faithful mother because she supported her child from the beginning of his life to the end of his life. Giving birth to Jesus was just the beginning. In Luke chapter 2, we read about Jesus when he was 12, how his parents had been to Jerusalem, and then they were on the way back, there's a large caravan, and Jesus didn't go with them. He sort of snuck out, and he went back to the temple to do some teaching, and 3 days later, they discovered Jesus wasn't there. You're thinking, 3 days it took them, but the culture was a lot different then. So they went back, they found him, and in verse 51, the scripture says, "Then he went down to Nazareth with them," that is his parents, "and was obedient to them, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart." I imagine that she did treasure all these things in her heart. Every one of you mothers treasure all those little memories of your kids. Maybe you have pictures of those kids, but, you know, they didn't have pictures. But as Jesus grew up, Mary took note of the man that he was becoming. Like all mothers, she treasured those memories and the things that people would say. Now, how many of you moms have a picture album of your kids growing up. Anybody here have picture albums of your kids? You may have baby pictures. You may have first steps pictures. You may have first day of school pictures. You might have the first Christmas pictures, and then every Christmas after that. You may have pictures of the first date, okay? And maybe sports. How many of you have pictures of your kids playing sports or in the band? Or maybe you have videos even of these things taking place. Birthday pictures, graduation pictures. A lot of y'all just experienced some graduation stuff. Marriage pictures. All of these wonderful pictures are a way of us treasuring those memories. And Mary, she didn't have pictures, but she had those memories. Mary was involved in Jesus' life. In fact, it was Mary who prompted Jesus to do his first public miracle. I love this story in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." And Jesus said, "Woman, why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, what does that tell you? She wasn't taking no from Jesus. I'm your mother, and I'm saying, get out there and help this family that's run out of wine. And Jesus did what she told him to do. Now, they followed Jesus' instructions, and he turned the water into wine. Interesting that Mary is the one who, in a motherly way, pushed Jesus to do this. But notice in verse 11, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. So the outcome of that miracle was that Jesus' disciples saw this. Now, this is like a minor kind of miracle, right? But they saw it and they believed. And again, this was the first of many miracles. But Mary supported Jesus' move into ministry. And I would also say that along the way, she suffered with her child. And this is the hardest part. As you think about Mary's life, as you think about any mother's life. Soon after his birth, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to be circumcised and to be blessed. And while they were there, an elderly man approached them. His name was Simeon. And Simeon said this to them, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." And then he said this one last little line. He said, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." About 33 years later, the words of that old prophet would come to fruition as Mary stood at the foot of the cross and she watched her oldest son be put to death. I wonder if his words came to her mind that day. John tells us in John 19:25, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom she loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple, took her into his home. Yes, Mary proved to be faithful to her son. And I think faithful to all of her children throughout their lives. No mother ever anticipates seeing their own child pass away. Maybe some of you have had to go through that. I can't imagine the pain of that. My mom mentioned my grandmother, Buba, and the loss of her firstborn son, Johnny. And I do remember, even as an elderly person, she lived with us for many years, that she still suffered from that loss. That's something a mom doesn't get over. And finally, I see in Mary a faithful member of the church. Now, Mary, of course, saw Jesus after his resurrection. She came to see that he rose out of that grave and he was alive again. I'm sure that had to be an amazing reunion, don't you think? Now, that's not recorded in Scripture. I don't see where when Jesus came to his mom that is recorded, but that would have been a cool sight to see. She was a believer too. And here's something to think about. Jesus was her Savior too, just like he is our Savior. So Mary would join that group of people who became fully devoted followers of Jesus. And in Acts chapter 1, after Jesus has ascended back to the Father, we read, when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, you might remember that during Jesus' ministry, his brothers didn't believe in him. But now they do. And Mary has them in that room with the disciples, and they're praying. Mary's still there. She had other sons with her, and they would faithfully serve Jesus for the rest of their lives. I can imagine some of those church socials where folks would come up to Mary and say, "Tell us what it was like to be Jesus' mother. Did you ever have to spank him?" You know, I'm sure, you know. But I know she had to be proud of him, but I'm also sure that she was never boastful, never arrogant, but humble. The Gospels cover from the birth to the death of Jesus. And there are only two people who from beginning to end are included in that account. Jesus, of course, and his mother. And throughout that story, she is consistently a faithful mother. Now, what does that mean for us? I want to encourage you, to be grateful for your faithful mothers. Now, I would love to say and hope that every person here in this room had a faithful mother, faithful to you and faithful to God. Sometimes that's not true, and that's a sad story. And you know, we would pray for you if we knew that to be true. But friends, if you have a faithful mother, you need to be grateful for her. And you need to tell her, first of all, she was faithful enough to give birth to you. She didn't abort you. She didn't choose a way out so that you wouldn't be hers. So tell her how much you appreciate her. Even if you're an adopted child, you have a mother who maybe she didn't give birth to you, but she chose you. And you can tell her how much you appreciate her. But I want to tell you, don't do it just one day. Mother's Day is okay. We all need to be saying it today. But I want to tell you what, it means even more tomorrow and the next day and the next day as you tell your mom how much you appreciate her. Tell her every chance you get, because there are a lot of people here today that would love to be able to say that to their mom. So you take advantage. Show them how much you care. You know, not just in word, but in deed as well. Take care of them. Take them out to eat. Take them shopping. Do those things without complaining, without griping. And now this is more for kids that are still in the home, although maybe I imagine some adults are still having to deal with it. Obey them, okay? How many of you are adults and your mom is still telling you stuff that you're supposed to do, okay? Raise your hand, be honest. I see some of y'all that are scared to raise your hand because your mom is here. But if you're still in the home, you know, the scripture is clear that you should obey them and you should honor their wishes. And I'm going to tell you, your mom is not going to tell you to do something that's a horrible thing. So just do what they tell you to do. Don't make their life more difficult. That's a great way to bless your mom. And then be faithful to your mothers. They're faithful to you. You be faithful to them. Honor them. Now, you know, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 tells us this. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. When you honor someone, you do things that will bring good reports to them. You know, you will do things that will make them proud of you. When you're out in public or you're doing your work or you're in school and other people see you and they go back to your mom and they give her a report. Now, what kind of report do you want them to give? Do you want them to say, well, I saw Junior and he was sort of cutting up, you know? Or do you want them to say, you have the finest son. He is just doing the things, you know. I mean, we want our mothers to be blessed by what they hear about us. And that is what a good child is going to do. Honor your mothers with the good choices you make in life. You might remember in Proverbs 31, there's a passage about a woman, a mother, who is honored. In verse 28, it says this, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Notice that the children arise and call her blessed. Children will honor their mother in public and consistently say things about them that bring honor to them. Now, the Jewish readers who would read in the Old Testament, honor your father and mother, would understand that that also meant provide for them. Not just, you know, do things that make them proud of you, but you actually provide for them, much like Jesus did for his own mother as he was hanging on the cross. We read that a little bit earlier. But honor your father and mother carried with it this concept that when your parent gets to the place where they can't take care of themselves, you take them into your home and you take care of them. One day, life has a way of turning around on us. The parent will no longer be able to provide for the child. In fact, the day may come when the parents aren't even able to provide for themselves. And when that day comes, the children have the responsibility of taking care of the parents. That's the system that Mary lived in. The children took the parents into their homes. They didn't have nursing homes. They didn't have nice hospitals back then. And that's why, again, as we mentioned earlier, Jesus hanging on the cross there in John 19 says to his mother, here's your son, and says to John, here's your mother. Now, I hate to see children who don't visit their elderly parents or take seriously their care, because this is really where the hammer hits the head of the nail is when we're honoring our mother and father. And then we need to be faithful followers of Christ. You know, nothing speaks to a mother's influence on our life. If she is a godly woman and who is following Christ, nothing speaks to that more than us coming and having faith in Christ. Each person has to come to a place where they make a personal decision about their relationship with Christ. But a godly mother is going to do her best to share her faith with her children. She will do what she can to help her children come to a knowledge of who Christ is. Now, it's possible that sometimes a mother can be overzealous in the attempt. I know that. But you got to understand the motivation. Because she loves her children with all of her heart, and she wants her children to have a saving relationship with Jesus. Now, is that a bad thing? Is it a bad thing to love your child so much that you want them to know Jesus? I wouldn't say that's a bad thing. But moms, try not to be too pushy or pressure children. Remember that they have to experience life and find Christ themselves. But your mission is to present the love of Christ to them. Don't make it a burden. Don't make it about pleasing you. Make it about them. And for those of us whose mothers brought us up to know Christ, remember the words in Proverbs 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. This truly is the best way to be faithful to our mothers. If you want to be blessed, bless your mothers. who have already blessed you. Let me close with this story. A guy named Tony Campolo, he's a very famous speaker and author, and he shared this about his wife, Peggy. He said sometimes, you know, people would come up. Peggy was a full-time stay-at-home mom, and sometimes people would ask her, you know, well, what do you do? What is it you, Tony is so busy, what do you do? And this is her reply. I am socializing two Homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological, I can't even say it, utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation. Now that is a job description right there. And then Peggy would look at them and she said, what do you do? So moms, we know that you do a lot, and we thank you. We thank you, mothers, for the efforts to transform us into instruments for changing this world for God. And that truly is a mission that you have. Thank you for blessing our lives. Thank you for being faithful. Father, we come to you today and we thank you for our moms. We pray that you would bless them. We pray that you would watch over them. We pray for expecting moms, these new mothers that are here. And we pray that you would watch over them and protect them and prepare them for those days. And Father, I know that each mom here is very thankful for her children. We pray that you would just bless their families. But even more than that, Lord, we just pray that each of us would come to faith in Christ, because that truly is the best way that we can show the effect of a faithful mother in our life. And we pray, God, that every day, not just today, but every day, we would be grateful and thankful for our moms and that we would say that to them. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Now, this is a special day. It's Mother's Day and everything. But you know what? It's still a day that can be a day of salvation. Every day can be a day of salvation. But today is the only day, and this moment, the only moment that we know that we're going to have. So, friend, if you need to make a decision about your relationship with Christ, if you need to make a decision about, you know, finding a faith like Mary had in her own son, we would invite you to come. Now maybe there's other things going on in your life. Maybe you need some prayer. Maybe you're going through some struggles in life. And if you need to talk to somebody about that and you need some prayer, I've got some friends that are going to be standing down here, and we're going to be standing, we're going to be singing right now. And if you need anything, we just ask you to come on down.